So let's review. Our Gemara, beginning at the bottom of Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, discussed how tefillin should be safeguarded at night while one is sleeping. Rav Yosef inquired as to whether one may place his tefillin under his pillow overnight to keep them safe. The Gemara explains that placing them under his footrest is understandably not permitted because it's disrespectful. However, what about near his head? Rav Yehuda answers by quoting Shmuel, who said, "Mutter afila ishto imoy," that it's permitted to sleep with them under his pillow, even if his wife is with him. Interestingly, even though the Gemara refutes Shmuel from an opposing brisa, Rava says, "Afal gav to tanya tiyufte de Shmuel hilchas akavasei." I'll follow Shmuel because kol lintarinu tvei adav. Safeguarding the tefillin is much more important than the concern for disrespect. Rav Yimri adds that he should, however, not place them directly beneath his head, only to the side. Taisus and other Rishonim add that in such a case where he's sleeping with his wife, the tefillin must be encased in two containers, including one of which is not its regular designated container. Rav Yosef bereid Rav Nechunim Rav Yehuda. Shnayim sheyesheinim b'mita achas. The Gemara went on to discuss the case of two people who are sharing a bed and wish to say Krishma. If they are facing each other, then it's forbidden. The question, however, is if they turn away from each other so that they're back to back, are they then permitted to say Krishma? The Gemara presents three opinions. Shmuel is the most lenient and permits it, regardless of whether the other person is his wife or a different family member. Rav Yosef allows it only if the other person is his wife, because ishta kegufoy, but not if it's someone else. The Gemara then also presents two brises. One brisa permits sleeping back to back and saying Krishma, which Shmuel interprets as referring to any family member, while Rav Yosef limits it to his wife. The other brisa presents a third opinion and forbids saying Krishma in such a position altogether unless there is a blanket separating them. Although regarding the earlier issue of placing tefillin in one's bed overnight, we saw that the halacha follows Shmuel. In our case, however, Rav Ashi said the halacha is not like him. We should debate whether that means that the halacha follows Rav Yosef, who permits saying Krishma back to back with his wife, or like the second brisa that forbids it in all cases. The Gemara pointed out that those who permit saying Krishma in such a posture apparently assume that agavos, buttocks, are not considered an erva. The Gemara brought support to this from the Mishnah that an undressed female is allowed to make a bracha when taking challah if she is sitting on the ground, even though her agavos would seem to be exposed. However, the Gemara says this proof is not conclusive, because perhaps that Mishnah refers to a case where she is somewhat dug into the soft ground, which covers her up. The Gemara continues, Amamar. The brisa that forbids saying Krishma while back to back with a family member permits it only if they are very young. The Gemara quoted a machlokes regarding the exact definition of young. Rav Chisda said that once a girl reaches the age of 3 and a boy the age of 9, they are no longer considered young in this context. Others say that they are still considered young until they reach the age of 11 in case of a girl and 12 in the case of a boy and show no physical signs of puberty. The Gemara also raised the question of whether pubic hair is an erva, and concluded that it is not. Although the word erva refers specifically to the private parts, it has another broader meaning as well, denoting any part of the body which can be the object of physical attraction. Using erva in this sense, the Gemara says that tefach be'isha erva, a tefach of a woman's exposed skin, shoik be'isha erva, her thigh or her shin, kol be'isha erva, her singing voice, and sar be'isha erva, her hair, are each considered an erva. Taking these one by one, Rabbi Yitzchok states that tefach be'isha erva, an exposed tefach of skin, is an erva. The Gemara explains that this cannot refer to the prohibition of gazing at a married woman, because that prohibition is not limited to a tefach. A man is not allowed to gaze for pleasure even at the small finger of a married woman. Rather, it means that one may not say Krishma in the presence of an exposed tefach of skin of any woman, even if she is his own wife. Rishonim add that this refers only to these parts of the body that are ordinarily covered, but not, for example, to her face and her hands. Next, Rav Chisda said that shoik be'isha erva, a woman's shoik is considered an erva. According to Rashi, Rav Chisda refers both to the prohibition of gazing at a married woman and of saying Krishma in the presence of an erva. But other Rishonim maintain that Rav Chisda cannot be referring to gazing at the shoik of a married woman, because we've already seen that it's forbidden to gaze even at the little finger of a married woman, so there's no reason to single out her shoik. Rather, they explain that Rav Chisda referring to saying Krishma in the presence of the exposed shoik of a woman, even of his wife. Although this would seem to be included in the earlier halacha, that tefach b'isha erva, Rishonim explain that Rav Chisda's point is that in the case of a shoik, even less than a tefach is a problem. Other Rishonim explain that the shoik is a part of the body that is not always covered, and therefore might not fall under the halacha that tefach bi'isha erva. Rav Chisda teaches that nevertheless, the sheikh is an erva in regard to kriyishma. Next, Shmuel said that kol bi'isha erva, her singing voice is an erva. A man is not allowed to listen to the singing of someone else's wife or of any woman who is forbidden to him. Finally, Rav Sheisha says that sar bi'isha erva. Many Rishonim write that this refers specifically to the hair of a married woman. A man may not gaze at the hair of someone else's wife. According to some Rishonim, kol bi'isha and sar bi'isha are also considered an erva in regard to kriyishma. That is, a man cannot say kriyishma in the presence of the uncovered hair of a married woman or in the presence of a woman singing, even if she is his own wife. Going back to the issue of tefillin and their safekeeping. Amar Reb Chanina, ani re'isi es Rebbe shetola tefillin. Reb Chanina says that he saw how Rebbe used to hang his tefillin on a peg. But the Gemara questioned this from a braisa which says, hatoyle tefillin yit lechayiv, clearly forbidding this practice. The Gemara suggested two answers. One is that while hanging them by their straps is forbidden, however Rebbe hung them by the ketzitza, the box part of the tefillin, with only the straps hanging. Or two, while hanging the tefillin themselves is indeed forbidden, but what Rebbe did was to hang the bag that contained in it his tefillin. Towards the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara presents Rav Chanina, who said that on various occasions he observed how Rebbe belched, yawned, sneezed, and so on during Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara questioned this, and the following conclusions emerge from that discussion. One may not deliberately belch or yawn during Shemoneh Esrei, and that Rebbe did so inadvertently. Inadvertently sneezing during Shemoneh Esrei is a good sign, but passing gas inadvertently during Shemoneh Esrei is a bad sign. One who needs to spit during Shemoneh Esrei should not do so on the floor, but rather into his garment or turban. If he finds that disgusting, he may spit on the floor behind him, but not in front of him. He may be memashbish bebigdoi. According to Rashi, that means that he may use his garment to remove a louse that is biting him. According to Ben Chananel, it means that he may adjust his talus if it is threatening to fall off. But if it fell down completely, he may not pick it up during Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara continues. One should say Shemoneh Esrei quietly. Saying it loudly shows a lack of faith, as if the Rebbeinu Shalom needs you to shout in order for him to hear you. However, if it helps you concentrate, then it's permitted, but only if you're davening privately. If, however, you are davening with others, you should say Shemoneh Esrei quietly, because we are concerned that it may disturb the others. The Gemara then tells us about Reb Abba, who was moving from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and was therefore avoiding Reb Yehuda, who objected to such a move, since he maintained that it violated the Nevuah that said, Bavel yavo b'shamayu. However, Reb Abba still wanted to hear some final words of Torah from Yehuda, so he stood outside the window of the Beis Medrash, and he heard Reb Yehuda teach that if someone was davening and they accidentally passed gas, he should wait for the odor to pass before continuing. If he feels an uncontrollable urge to pass gas, he should step back 4 amos, and he returns to his place after the odor has passed. In either case, before resuming, he says a short, heartfelt prayer in which he humbly apologizes for his human frailty. Rabbi, upon hearing this, proclaimed that, had I come just to hear this, it would have been worthwhile. Going back to the subject of someone who lying undressed in bed and wishes to say Kriyishma, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Tan Rabban, Hayoshin b'talisai, choytzit b'talisai al tzavari v'koy Kriyishma. He should draw the blanket around his neck to separate his eyes from his nakedness. Another braisa says, choytzit b'talisai al libay. He should press the blanket around his heart so to also separate his heart from his erva. The first braisa holds, libay royas erva is mutter, while the second braisa holds, libay royas erva is aser. Towards the end of the daf, the Gemara discusses whether one can say Kriyishma while walking through a street that is foul with excrement. Rav Huna Amar Reb Yochanan, Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Rabbi Shmuel Levi, and a braisa, they hold that it is permitted, as long as he continues walking and doesn't stand still. However, he should nevertheless cover his mouth. On the other hand, Rav Chisda and another braisa hold that is completely forbidden, and that he has to interrupt his recitation until he leaves the foul area. According to Rav Chisda's view that he has to interrupt his recitation, if the interruption took so long as the time it takes to say the entire Kriyishma, then when he's ready to resume, he must go back to the beginning of Kriyishma.